I want to thank all of you, thank the church for your prayers, and thank God for his healing. I'm happy to be back, and to God be the glory. In our study of the New Testament, a portion of the New Testament, we note that many analogies are used to depict the relationship between Christ and his church. For example, we are his building. 1 Corinthians 3:9 to 15. We are his temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16 to 17. We are his bride. Ephesians 5:22 to 23. And for our text this morning, the analogy of the body is used to show the relationship of Christ and his church. You saw the children's illustration that Pastor Dave gave. The body is one but has many parts, and each part is important. So if you have your Bible this morning, please turn with me, and would you please stand up for the reading of God's word. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 13 to 31. Let us read the powerful word of God. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason, and in the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body. If the ear says, because I am not an eye, I'm not part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the body, each part of them, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now these are many. There are many members, but one body. And if the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable bodies become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable bodies have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But honestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the remarkable portion of scriptures this morning. Would you please teach us what it means indeed to be a body of Christ, the church? We thank you, Lord, because the Holy Spirit will do the teaching this morning, and we say amen to what he impresses on our minds this morning for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So, Paul uses the analogy or the metaphor of a body for the church. A body has many parts that work together for the overall good of the body to which they all belong. In this chapter we're going to look at this morning, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul will illustrate the connection between the church as the body of Christ and spiritual gifts. As the physical human body is one with many parts, so the spiritual body, the church of Jesus Christ, is one with a variety of gifts. We are one as the body of Christ. Friends, we are one. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, in verse 12, of our text, we read, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so is Christ." In a parallel passage, Romans 5, 5, it says, "So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." We are connected spiritually, friends. We are connected spiritually. Because we are one by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You say, "Pastor Joe, what does that mean?" Yes, each believer is baptized in the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ at the time of his conversion. You say, "I don't remember that." But it is true. It is true. Just as on that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, so spiritually, Jesus Christ baptizes everyone who accepts him as Lord and Savior. Amen. We are one by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Each believer is baptized in the Holy Spirit at the time of his or her conversion. When you and I accepted Christ as personal Lord and Savior, Christ baptized you and he baptized me in the Holy Spirit. That is what makes us Christians. With all the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are not a believer. So when you and I accepted Christ, he baptized us in the Holy Spirit, and then we became believers, we became Christians. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said this: "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." We are baptized in the Holy Spirit, thus becoming one. One Holy Spirit. One in Christ. One Holy Spirit baptized all of us. Thus becoming one in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Friends, we have the same spiritual DNA. We have the same spiritual DNA, a genetic makeup. We are connected to one another. We are united in Christ. We are a body of Christ. Paul is not talking about water baptism. Yes, we all did that, but he's talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about an immersion with the Holy Spirit into unity with all believers, regardless of your race, ethnicity, regardless of your nationality. We are one in Christ because we are all baptized with the Holy Spirit when we accepted Christ. See the connection? That's it. We are all baptized with the Holy Spirit, and that makes us one body. And this is important, friends. How we grieve God when we have the same Holy Spirit who baptized us and made us believers in Christ, and yet we grieve him by what we do to one another, what we say. But not only that, secondly, we are one because we all drink of the Holy Spirit. We all drink of the Holy Spirit. At salvation, all believers not only become members of Christ's body, but the church, but we are all indwelled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. Thus making us one in Christ Jesus. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is placed within each one of us. Look at Romans 8:9. It says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit, he does not belong to him. He does not belong to him. One commentator said that the evidence of the Holy Spirit living within you and myself is by the fruit of the Spirit. It's by the fruit of the Spirit. We are one as a body because we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and because we're all made to drink of the Holy Spirit. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. That makes all of our precious children of God. We are one body in Christ. And that is why our membership, Pastor David alluded to the membership. During the time of membership, when we ask meeting people who want to join the church, we ask two important questions to make sure that you have accepted Jesus Christ. Because coming as a member, you are coming as one of us together as a body of Christ. And so we do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, just maybe a ritual or traditional thing, but want to make sure that you have accepted Christ. Want to make sure that you have accepted Christ. We are one as a body of Christ, yet we are divided. Just as you see Pastor Dave holding our body, putting the ear, we are divided. Let's look at our text. Let's just look at verse 14, you see. Beginning from verse 14. It says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the least part of the body. And so naming the parts. And he said in verse 18, in verse 18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now we are many members, but one body of Christ. Here, Paul was illustrating how every part of the human body, just as every part of the human body is essential for its functioning, the unity that we have in Christ, even though we have different spiritual gifts, we are one in Christ. And that is why unity, friends, is indispensable. We have to remain united as the body of Christ. Unity is something we cannot do without. Just as the human body cannot do without all the parts or some of the parts, it has to be whole. We, as the body of Christ, the church, got to remain united. But at the same time, diversity in the church is necessary. Diversity in the church is, as the physical body, the foot is different from the hand, the ear is different from the eye, etc. But they all are part of the body. In the Corinthian church, there were selfish members. And there were a lot of division. Oh, just read it. A lot of division. There was discontent with some of the members. They were saying, well, they're up there singing every Sunday, everybody looking at them. But what do I do? I'm just in the corner. Who knows me? And so there was these service members were discontent with their gifts. They wanted gifts that people could be seen. They wanted attention. They wanted prestigious gifts. Like some of the gifts we named earlier. You know. They wanted to be seen by others. In so doing, they became ungrateful to God for the gifts he's given them. They became ungrateful for the gifts God has given them. On the other hand, in the church, like in verse 21 of our text, Paul says that there were also those members who had gifts that everybody could see, and they were just overestimating their worth, looking down at the people who, quote-unquote, had inferior gifts. belittling those who were not, who did not have attractive gifts, overestimating their own worth. These two were not humble and were not giving glory to God, who gave them these gifts. God graciously gave us our gifts. We don't deserve our gifts. He looked at you, and he knew you, and he endowed you with a gift. There's nothing we can bluff about, or nothing that we can feel dissatisfied about. Just as he desired, he bestowed a gift on you. The fact of the matter, all gifts are important. All spiritual gifts are important. God gave them to us as he desired, so they are to be used for his glory and for the edification of the church, all believers. They are to be used to benefit the church, not for you to show off, or not for you to feel discontent because your gift is not being seen by others. God sees your gift. Benefit the church with your gifts. The fact of the matter, we are all important, friends. So I don't know what your gifts are this morning. And if you know your gifts, are you using those gifts for the glory of God? Or are you shy because you think your gift is not important? No. It is important for the church. In verse 25, we read, "So there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another." Amen. Many churches are not living up to the expectation of our gracious God because spiritual gifts are not being used for the edification of the body. God gave the gifts for a reason. Just as he placed the hand and the feet on the physical body for a reason, and we see they are functioning for the benefit of the whole body, so it is with the church. And maybe you could read this chapter again and again. God is not happy with you and I if we are not using the gifts for the advancement of his church. And pray for the leaders here. Pray for us that we will help you discover your gift. Right now, there's a study going on with our group on spiritual gifts. I will ask Brother Ron to send you a link. Just ask. A very important study. No, just imagine. Someone went to work and they worked hard, they bought a beautiful gift for you. And they came and gave it to you. No excitement. You just chunk it in the corner. And it's there for years. You don't even mention it to them. If it were you, how would you feel? How would you feel? Precious. They went about and give you that gift. You didn't even open it. You put it in the corner. But the members may have the same care for one another, because all their gifts are important. You see here, we are dependent on one another. Just as the physical body, the hand needs the foot needs the hand. we depend on one another in the use of our gifts in the body of Christ. But also we are interdependent in the body of Christ. There must be mutual love and concern for one another. And you look at it in verse 26 to 27, it says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Try to knock your finger in the door and see what will happen to your body. The pain will go all through the body, not just the finger. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ. You are Christ's body and individually members of it. A pastor's wife was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. That put the family in a difficult, stressful situation. He wondered how he was to go about to care for her while still carrying on his responsibility for the church family. But he didn't need to worry, because the church stepped out and volunteered to assist him with meals and some of the care for his wife. And some of the care for his wife. If one member suffers, all members suffer. Here at Crossroads, we try to meet needs. We try to empathize with those who are struggling. And God demands it from us, just as you see the body. It's the body of Christ. We try to meet needs. Thank God for the deacons' fund, extending help to members in need. Please continue to give to the deacons' fund. The session is now reorganizing a shepherd list, and sooner or later, the elders will be calling on you to see how you're doing, visiting with you to know how you are doing. There must be mutual love and concern in the body of Christ. Don't be callous to the needs of people around in the body. Are you not hurting when others hurt? Thank God for the grief and loss, but there we just listen. Have people talk with fond memories of those who have departed. A very important ministry. And even as Pastor Dave reads the list here during the announcement of Scott, and you listen to those, mark it down. Pray for those who are going for surgery. Those who are, we are one. If one suffers, all suffers. There must be mutual love and concern in the body of Christ. If you read Romans 5, it's a beautiful passage. And to that end, I like it. They say, bless those who curse you. Don't be angry. Because sometimes in the body of Christ, sometimes the tongue can bite the tongue, right? It hurts. But they still live together. They still live together. People hurt you, pray about it. Pray about it. Tell God. Don't keep speech. Don't have an attitude. Because you hide the Spirit of God who lives within all of us. Don't step away. Pray about it and come to church. Let God heal your heart. there might be mutual love and concern in the body of Christ. We are all important in the body of Christ, just as each member of the physical body is important, so it is with the spiritual body of Christ. Each one of you in this church is important. Each one of you in this church is important, in Crossroad Community Church. You have a role here to play. We want you to use your spiritual gift. God took time to give you that gift graciously. You didn't deserve it. And we must use those gifts to his glory and for the edification of the church. So please, if you are not discover your gift, we need it. We need it here. We need it. Because just imagine if everybody in this church were using his gift as God intended, it make a big difference. And then finally, we must maintain our unity in diversity as the body of Christ. Renounce discontent. What do I mean by that? Don't be angry, unhappy, because your gift is not recognized. In the Corinthian church, there were some members, as I said earlier, who were not happy with their gift. Are you happy in the church? Are you happy? You can't wait to come to this church on Sunday morning, because this is where God wants you to be. Or are you discontent? Are you discontent? You can share with your leaders if you are not happy. And let us condemn arrogance. No one here is important above the other person. No one here is important more than the other person. I tell you, that's the truth. In the sight of God. So let's condemn arrogance. Discourage pride, prideful spirit. No matter who you are. If you're black, if you're white, if you're Hispanic, if you're Indian, we are all important here. That is why Paul said to the Greek, everybody is important. Your gift is not inferior, it is important. God hates arrogance. Don't put others down because you feel you have a superior gift than them. All gifts are important. All are given by the sovereign God. So exercise your spiritual gift with love, with gratitude to the glory of God. Let me close with this illustration to summarize all that I have said. A very beautiful illustration. In this beautiful town, there was a church built, newly built, a magnificent building. And people came from far and wide to see this structure, a piece of architecture work. With admiration, they were looking at this church, the beautiful carpet. The organ was so elegant. The pulpit, all right? This is beautiful too, but I'm telling that church, we don't match that church. So people came from all over. Oh, look at the chairs. Look at the benches. And up there in the ceiling, there was a nail holding the shingle together. So they said, oh, nobody noticed me. They didn't even say, oh, look at her nail. Everybody was And the nigger got so discouraged. Oh man, I'm fed up with this. And the nail left its place, holding the roof together, basically. And the wind got so angry, it fell off and fell in the mud. Meanwhile, the next day, it rained so heavily that the roof was blown up. And the rain started pouring down in our beautiful church. The carpet got soaked. Hey, the beautiful piano was floating in the water. And everything damaged just because of a one disgruntled nail who was not doing his work, who left his work. Friends, you are important to this church. Everybody must play his part. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you for your word, oh God. Lord, help us to rise up. Help us to rise up. Help us to be united. Help us to have love for one another. Help us to build your church using all our gifts. And it will be for your glory. Your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen.